Hey, hello, and what's up, y'all? You're listening to the All Things Cultivated Podcast. Welcome to the All Things Cultivated Podcast. I am your host, Sharonda Berry, registered nurse turned holistic health and wellness coach, here to help you cultivate a Christ-centered life of health, wealth, and wholeness. Get ready to find your self-worth, to set healthy boundaries, stop living in fear, foster healthy relationships with men and money, all while having a good time doing it. Let's dive in. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast, guys. Hey, 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 hey. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. Exactly. Excited, super stoked about today's episode. And it is a heartwarming exploration into cultivating joy during the holiday season. And in melanated terms, it is beating the holiday blues. Amen, amen. And in today's episode, we're going to go beyond the tinsel and the twinkling lights to discover a holistic approach to finding happiness. And raw, I was going to enter some holiday music here, but I don't want to get any copyright issues. So joy to the world, the Lord has come. Okay. That's my holiday music. So the holidays are a mixed bag of emotions, if I may say, for many reasons. And I just want to say it's okay not to be okay during this time. The holiday blues is a real thing. And therefore, we must address it. We can't ignore it. We can't overlook it. We can't just forget about it, shove it under the rug, sweep it under the rug, close the door on it. You know, sometimes we really have to address some things. And today we're going to dive into the transformative power of being fully present. So first things first, let's unpack these holiday blues. I want to start by acknowledging the holidays aren't always the picture-perfect postcard. Well, I said that correctly the first time. That's a tongue twister there. It is not the picture-perfect postcard. And there are a couple triggers that cause stress and sadness. Some of these triggers range from the pressures that society places on us, and other triggers range from the pressures that we put on ourselves during this time. And as always, my podcasts are founded in research and, on certain topics, but also they come from personal experiences. So I know for me, it used to be one of the stressors for the holidays were financial stress. Trying to buy the perfect gift, trying to buy the gift for everyone, trying to, make sure that when they unwrapped it, I wanted that wow factor. I wanted them to say, oh my gosh, look at this gift. I wanted to make sure that I got the right thing, regardless of the price. I wanted to make sure I got enough gifts for enough people. And it will cause me to be stressed when I couldn't. It caused depression when I wasn't able to buy my son the game that he wanted or all of the games that he wanted. Maybe I could buy the game system, but I could only buy one game. Maybe if I bought the game, I couldn't buy the shoes. Maybe if I bought the shoes, I couldn't buy the outfit. Or if I bought the shoes and the outfit, I couldn't buy the game. I just couldn't go down the list and get him everything he wanted and then get something for my parents and then get something for a significant other. And then, at work, everybody wanted to play Secret Santas and all of those things. And it was just a financial stress for me that would cause depression. And I know what people say all the time, don't worry about budgeting, don't spend less, just make more. And that sounds cool, maybe if you have an entrepreneur mindset or if you are an entrepreneur. But for the average everyday person who's already working 10 to 12 hours and sometimes they're working multiple jobs, you can't just tell this person to work more or make more money, And I hate to say that, because part of me is like, okay, you're thinking limited, you're limiting God, you're having limited mindset, because I've heard people say that. But then again, I'm also listening to a portion of me that's saying all of this is nonsensical, and it's not important, right? So not only do we need to not make more money, we don't need to work more, because it's just a holiday. And there's no need to put such stress on yourself to buy the perfect gift. There's no financial stress that's needed, because it's just a holiday. But if you feel like you have to create, you know, to buy a certain amount of gifts, create a budget. That's what I would say. Create a budget and stick to it. And tell each child, hey, this is your budget. You can let them know this year that next year this is your budget. If you have multiple children, and it's up to them. They can let them make their Christmas list, and they can choose if they want one gift for the, just if you have a $100 budget per child. Okay, well, that's up to your child if they want to have one gift for $100. I know $100 doesn't go far. I'm just using a number. But, you know, it's up to them if they want one gift or multiple gifts for $100. You know, everybody. So I would just say stick to a budget. Create a budget and stick to it. And then, you know, sometimes you may just have to cut out the number of people that you're buying gifts for, so that you will reduce this financial stress that causes, you know, that could be placed upon yourself. This is not the time to overextend yourself. It's not the time to max out your credit cards. It's not the time to take out loans just for the holidays. And believe me, I have done them all. Another common trigger that could cause holiday blues is loneliness. Sometimes looking at family and friends around you gathering, looking at their posting the pics on social media. Of course, that's their highlight reels, but you're still watching them decorate and watching them go out to dinner and watching them, you know, with their family gatherings. It may make you feel some kind of way. So how can you avoid the holiday blues of loneliness that's triggered by loneliness? Take a break from social media if you need to. Maybe you don't need to start watching it, or you can, you know, kind of reduce your time, your screen time, or, you know, not pay attention to the people who may seem to you that you're triggered by the most, right? So I would just say take a break from social media, even if it means that you can, you know, you stop viewing it around Thanksgiving and don't pick up again so after the new year. That's perfectly fine. But loneliness definitely can set in. And then also with your extra time, if you don't have kids, or if your kids are grown, because I'm in that season of life where I am not married, and my son is an adult now, so he's not going to, and he has a girlfriend. So he does not want to spend every holiday with his mother, right? He has a, you know, someone in his life who's special to him, and they're trying to make their own memories and connect and build something. And so he's not always here for Christmas and Christmas Eve, the day after Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, you know, all day and whatever. So I think that one way to beat that loneliness, because we've spent, it's just he and I for so long. So if you find yourself in that same situation, maybe your kids are adults now, maybe you're widowed, or maybe you're single or recently divorced, maybe consider volunteering. Consider going to a shelter and decorating or wrapping gifts, or, you know, go to somewhere there's a soup kitchen and you can feed people for the holidays. Maybe you can go to a nursing home and sit with an elderly person or decorate with them or help with their gift giving or programs that they may have. Work with their church, because I know my father's church does volunteer every year to go to nursing homes, and they take gifts, receive gifts, and carry them there. They provide meals, they sing, and things like that. And so that way you're not taking, you're not spending so much time feeling sorry for yourself or sitting in loneliness, and you're taking yourself out of the center of attention and you're focusing that time on someone else. And believe me, when you start spending time helping other people and not so much time sitting in your loneliness and thinking so much about yourself, that does tend to help depression. And let me say this, do not use this time to reconnect with toxic exes, toxic lovers, toxic friends, toxic family members, simply because you're in your feelings and you're lonely. And then maybe your experiences, if you have any experiences tied around the holidays, sometimes that could be a trigger to the holiday blues. Now, personally for me, my mom's birthday was her birthday is December the 1st. And so I really am depressed around her birthday before it even comes around. Like I find myself depressed a week or two before her birthday. I also had a child that was born, stillborn, and shortly after the 1st. So a couple of weeks after that, I have to, you know, have that memory of a child that was born and deceased. So those are feelings for me that kind of makes the holiday depressing, right? I used to, not anymore. God has really worked with me and delivered me from that. But I used to start being depressed around the 1st of November, and it would not leave me until after New Year. And I would even now it's still difficult for me sometimes just to get up or just to get in the mood or to decorate or to even just want to have anything to do with the holidays. But God has delivered me from that, and it's better. I say more often than not, I'm good. Just every now and then, I'm not. And that goes to part two. I give myself permission to feel. Giving ourselves permission to feel is a gift we often forget. It's crucial during the holidays to embrace the full spectrum of emotions and find approaches to navigate them, right? You don't need my permission, but I give it to you. Not that you need it, but you have my permission to feel depressed, to feel sad, to feel upset, to feel lonely, et cetera, but you do not have anyone's permission to remain in those feelings. You must choose joy, happiness, fulfillment, and you have to take the necessary steps to actively pursue them. It seems like there's this unnecessary extra pressure to be joyful during the holidays, to be cheerful, extra cheerful and things, but you know, there's great power in accepting and expressing your emotions. Just there's no power in just staying in them. Those are two things that help with the holiday blues. And then the third is letting go of perfection is another way to avoid the holiday blues. Perfectionism casts the shadow over your joy during the holidays. Because let me tell you, I'm a recovering perfectionist. Anyone who's in this podcast, any of my day ones, what is it called, A1 since day one, you know your girl is a recovering perfectionist. The holidays were no exception. That's when I went into overdrive, okay? I needed the cakes to be caking and the pies to be pieing. And everything had to be perfect. The dressing, the decorations, the gifts, my outfit, my son's outfit, everything had to be perfect. I remember one time I stayed up over 30 hours. And you know it's 24 hours in a day, right? I stayed up over 30. I didn't even go to sleep. I was remaking the same cake over and over. I got this recipe from my grandfather. May he rest in peace. I think he got the recipe from my grandmother. You know, it was my grandfather in Louisiana. So he gave me this recipe for this 7-Up cake. And I made this cake 4 times in a row. Cooked the cake, let it cool. Didn't look right. I would cut like a thin slice out of it. I threw it away. I made it again. Like, I made this cake 4 times. I made dressing twice. I make the dressing, didn't like it, threw it away. I've made six sweet potato pies 1 time. Because I make them 2 at a time. I'd make them. I didn't like the way they would look. Maybe the coloring was off. Throw it away. Didn't like the way they set up or something. You know, throw it away. Make them. I'm not exaggerating, guys. Like, that's just how serious I was. And once I skipped an entire Christmas dinner with my family all together because I couldn't get my hair right. I just could not get that hair to do right. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm just not going. I'm not going. I probably didn't want to go anyway and just use the hair as an excuse. But the hair wouldn't do what it wanted to do. And so I didn't go. And embracing imperfections, baby. Now I laugh at lopsided cakes. It is what it is. I intentionally wear goofy outfits, you know, like the ugly sweaters or outfits that do not match, because I don't care. It's not like I have I don't care about life attitude. It's just another day, and the holidays are so much more than what I have on. Last Christmas, let me tell you, your girl didn't even dye her hair, okay? I had more gray hair in my photos than my 85-year-old stepmom. You hear me? I had more gray than the granite on a countertop. I mean, in a modern day kitchen. I had more gray than a herd of elephants in the Sahara Desert. You hear me? Your girl was graying, and ask who cared? Not I. I cooked dinner. It was served in aluminum disposable pans. Let me say that again. My dinner was served in aluminum disposable pans.
What?
Mm-hmm. And that is a no-no in my home. Anyone who knows me, if you have dinner at my house, you know we're not doing anything throwaway, anything disposable, anything aluminum. What? It's not what we do. But I did that day, and I was cheesing from one end of the, I had the biggest cheese grin on my face on all of the photos. And then the holiday season is another time to create traditions. Maybe what you have been doing no longer serves you or no longer works for you. And maybe trying to keep up with traditions of older years or yesteryears or what's leading to your holiday blues, right? So now maybe you can just personalize or design some traditions for your own, family, or for, you know, traditions just change. Like mine, they change. I don't have a little small kid who's excited about Christmas, waking up to open gifts and things. He's not even here on Christmas Day, right? So I have, and then my family, my parents, my father is 90, my stepmom is 85, so they're not out Christmas shopping, so it's not going to be any gifts for me to open from them. And so we have new traditions and we have new things. It's a new season in my life. And I don't look at it as I used to, remorsing and feeling sorrowful about what was, but I'm mindful about what is, and I'm trying to be I am present for what's going on right now. And maybe you could create some new traditions, playing games, some drinking games, some card games, some board games, physical games, scavenger hunt. I don't know. Maybe y'all can read a book as a family. The Bible is a good book, and the birth of Christ is a good story that, you know, for example, that you could read. Or maybe you can prepare a meal together. Maybe that's your new tradition. You get together and don't have to have the traditional turkey, dressing, ham. I don't know what you have for Christmas, but maybe it can be just getting together and cooking a different meal. Maybe it could be a different cuisine each Thanksgiving. Or maybe you can just start journaling. I actually have a resource that may be able to help you with that. Introducing The Cultivated Woman, a 30-day devotional journal designed to empower women to cultivate faith, wisdom, and purpose. In a world that often pulls us in 100 different directions, The Cultivated Woman brings you back to your core. Each page is a journey of self-discovery, reflection, and renewal. A space where you can explore your faith, gain wisdom, and unlock your true purpose.
Whether you're a career-driven professional, a dedicated mother, or embarking on a new chapter, the Cultivated Woman is your companion on this transformative path. Order your copy today at newberryhealth.com/shop. That's newberryhealth.com/shop to start cultivating the life you are destined for. The Cultivated Woman, your journey to empowerment. Dun, 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 dun. Shout out to Juvember for that music. And so it's not about me just advertising my journal, but the journal is a path to self-discovery, but it also helps you learn gratitude or practice gratitude. Gratitude is a powerful force for joy backed by scientific studies. It has been shown to even rewire the brain for happiness and will counteract your holiday blues. That's right. Gratitude has been shown to rewire the brain for happiness. So, yeah, I'm up here, you know, kind of just, you know, I'm always going to plug my journal, but it is something that is to help you. It's definitely a tool that can help you practice gratitude. And once again, removing yourself from a situation instead of everything being so, what don't I have? What don't I have? What can't I get? What am I missing? It actually helps you to focus on what do I have and how can I serve others, and, you know, just looking from things for a different perspective. There's actually neuroscience that supports gratitude, and for me not to be so techie and to get into my registered nurse jargon and my nerdy side, but I will say this, you know, when we feel happy, our brains release chemicals that makes us feel good. I can say it that way. And this happy feeling can actually change our brains by creating new connections, all right? And it's like the like I just said, the brain is rewiring itself to be more positive. And this is called neuroplasticity, okay? We're not going to get into all of that. But so the more joy we have, in essence, the more joy we experience, the more our brains can change for the better. Just remember that. Gratitude or being thankful for things is a huge impact. When we make a habit of thinking about the good stuff in our lives, our brains start to get used to focusing on the positive. And this can lead to long-term changes in how we see and deal with things. And overall, it makes us happy. Practicing gratitude is particularly poignant during the holidays. And like I said, the one way we can do this is that holiday-centric gratitude with the journal. Another thing we could do is a thankful tree. You know, you have your Christmas tree. You can have I have a small tabletop Christmas tree. And instead of like regular decorations with the balls and the lights and things like that, maybe you can cut out some leaves and it could be a thankful tree. And all of your leaves can be just moments of gratitude, just small things. I guarantee you, if you just start focusing on small things, you'll remember larger ones. But maybe your tree can have decorations of gratitude, moments of gratitude on them. And then, of course, like I said, the Cultivated Woman Journal, newberryhealth.com/shop. Also, gratitude gifts, handwritten or typed letters. From family members or friends, maybe you can write your husband one, your boyfriend, your wife, your mother, your sisters, your aunties, a nice letter. Maybe that can be your tradition. Everybody write a letter, read it. You can pick one person in the family to write a letter to. Maybe everybody pulls a letter out of a box or a hat. You write that person a letter, you read it on Christmas, and you put them in a photo album or some type of book, you know, so that you can have them and you have this entire book. And that could be something you can have for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And that's a holiday. You can look back over those letters and moments of gratitude when you have nothing else. You know, when you're feeling down, you can go back and open your book up and read what someone said about you. Okay. And then another way is to beat the holiday blues is quality over quantity. That's something I had to work on, and I still work on it. It's just something about staying busy and doing all the things. But
With me, I want high quality and high quantity, and it doesn't always coincide all the time. It's either sometimes you have to pick, and if you have to pick one of over the other, make sure it's quality. And in a society that's so materialistic and consumer generated, meaningful connections during the holidays, it just seems like a foreign concept. But it is during these times that it's extra important to spend time with others and have genuine conversation, making quality time with them. When we do that, talk openly. It'll help you feel less sad. Share experiences with them, like when you're cooking and you're playing your games and you're creating your memories that make you feel connected. Have honest conversation. Talk with people. Now, and don't be afraid to share your feelings. I'm not telling you to be a Debbie Downer and come and trauma dump. Don't come to my house and dump all your trauma that you had all year long. But it's okay to have us, and I'm not saying use it as a time of confrontation either. What I'm saying is if you find yourself lonely, depressed, anxious, fearful, or whatever, let someone know. It's okay. Let somebody know. Have some meaning conversations during this time, even if it just means you tell somebody, hey, you know, I just really would like to see you more next year, or I didn't see enough of you this year, or we didn't spend enough time together, or this, that, and the third. You know, don't be afraid to have some meaningful conversations, and maybe that's what you do around the holidays. Just make sure that you're taking that time to have quality time. And then, and last but not least, this is the age of technology. Connecting with distant loved ones has become more accessible than ever. There are creative ideas for virtual celebrations. Now, my work from home job, it introduced me to this concept because we would have birthday parties, baby showers. We had all of those, our Christmas parties, everything was virtual. I had never heard of a virtual Christmas party. We had a buddy system where we were partnered with another nurse. That person, if you were off, they would answer your calls. They would check your voicemails for you. That's what it was. They would check your voicemails and your emails. And the same thing you would do for them, and you would get their workload, whatever they had while they were off. And if it was too much, then they would split the, you know, what you couldn't handle with the rest of the group. But so you would partner with a person all year long that was your work buddy, and that's also the person that you would exchange Christmas gift with if you chose to participate. So your work buddy would be your person whose name you had, in essence, and you would, you know, we all had their address and telephone number and all of that, and you would send the gift to their home, and they would wait. We'd have one day where we would have a few hours instead of having our weekly business meeting or work meeting. We had our Christmas party, and that was the time for you to get you some non-alcoholic eggnog, because we're not supposed to drink on the job, but you're in the comfort of your own home. So, I mean, who's to say it wasn't anything as some of that eggnog? Because, anywho, but you would open your gift online, and it was really neat. It really was, because some of my team members were in Florida, others were in Arizona. We had team members in Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas. You know, we had people all over, California, Carolinas. And so just thinking, you know, how different people think different, traditions are different. And they would share recipes and decorations and stories. And we would open our gifts and, you know, they would eat if you had food. You know, this is the time to take your lunch break as well so you can share. And then we have people from different cultures. So they would share their traditional foods. It was a time to learn for other people from, you know, and about other people. So that's something that you can do. Maybe your family member is not there, but maybe you can just jump on Zoom or FaceTime or any of these other, because I'm not old, I'm seasoned. So, but, and I don't stay up to date on the technology like that, but just some type of virtual concept Well, you can see them. They can see you. You can mail the gifts. You can open them together. You can still cook together. You can still eat together. You can have the music, the games, because that's what we did. We had music. We had games, gifts, all of those things. And it was a great way to connect with people that we wouldn't have normally been able to. And so I encourage you to do the same thing with family and the raw. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. If I may say so, I really think all of these tips and advices are really good to help you with the holiday blues. Yeah, I think this was a pretty darn good episode. And if you think it was a good episode, I want you to go over to your avocado's home. We give this avocado hell, don't we? I want you to go over to their home and replace their Christmas stockings with socks.
Gotti! Gotti!
So in closing, thank you for joining me on this journey of cultivating joy during the holiday season. And remember that joy isn't always found in grand gestures, but it's in the small, meaningful moments we create for ourselves and we create for others. And here's wishing you a holiday season that's filled with love, with warmth, and with boundless joy. And until next time, peace, love, and wellness from the Cultivated Vegan herself. Thanks for listening. I pray that the information shared on today's episode was both valuable and life-changing. Feel free to follow me on social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Rumble. Also, if you wish to financially support the podcast, links to Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee are in the show notes. And please don't forget to subscribe and share. Bye!